Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Good morning, Church of our Savior. This is the early morning crowd. People say those who come in very early are the achievers. They are the go-for type of people. Amen. So give yourself applause. Honestly, I'm not, complimenting you for the sake of, it is true. Early risers are high achievers, and you find us when you study CEOs and people who do much in life, they get up early because they got so much to do in the things of God. So I trust I'm speaking to the people of God who's going to make a difference. Amen. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. I've been part of VFC for 25 years. I've not been full-time for 25 years. I came in as a member way back in 1990, and I've grown in the church, starting as a member. We all start there, then becoming an assistant cell leader and a cell leader, then gradually grow up to be, teaching classes in the Bible classes, then to be a divisional minister, we call them divisional overseers. That means you pastor groups of people, between 70 to 100 people. Then from there, I went out to the mission field, especially to East Timor. I was there for 4 years with my family. My son was about 3 months old when we took him out there, For those of you who are thinking about having children and missions, friends, family and missions go together, all right? So don't think, I need to go alone, my husband cannot do. Do it together. It's one of the most fun things to do. And since coming back from mission field, I served as a regional pastor. That's over a congregation of 500-600 people. Then from then I moved on to still oversee church planting work, not just in Timor-Leste, but around the world also. Even now I do that. We are overseeing nearly about 18 to 20 countries just for me, starting new churches, planting new works, and seeing the churches grow. Praise the Lord. I'm excited because I came to know the Lord as a student in university, and one of the first thing the Lord told me is that I just do not want you to serve me, I want your whole life for world missions. That was way back when I was just 19 years old. And I said, God, I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't see how I can, my first response is that, God, I want to abandon my studies and go and serve the Lord. I think that's what your pastor did. But the Lord says, no, you got much to learn, So I say, okay, God, I will do it, So I stayed on in university, finished off my studies, served my bond with the government, and I came to serve the Lord in VFC because of a call God given me to the nations, the world. And I continue to do that conscientiously. As a church, a VFC is 40 years old next year. God has given us a mandate to go to the nation, and we've been faithful. Today, we are in 94 nations with over 10,000 churches around. Just from one church, we planted 10,000 churches. They're continuing to multiply. And we believe by the grace of God and the favor of God and the help of God, in 10 years' time, we want to see 100,000 churches planted with 5 million believers around the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to believe Church of our Savior is going to outdo us. Right? Amen? And the people that do it are among us this morning. Among you. Yeah. Amen. That's right. Amen. Really. Yeah. There's nothing impossible with our God. There's nothing better than to see, churches and Christians rise up in these last days to fulfill the Great Commission, making God's last commandment our first priority. Praise the Lord. The message for me this morning is testimony of a witness. Testimony of a witness. And I want to start with the book of Acts in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I think the scripture is this. And it says, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit that is already here. Father, as your word goes forth, Holy Spirit, may you speak to hearts. Call people into alignment to your word and the plans you have for this church and for their life. Father, thank you that God, there is many more laborers needed for the harvest field. We thank you, God, for Japan, for Thailand, for Timor-Leste. And Father, believe there are so many more nations that God, you are going to give to this church and to their children and their children's children. So Lord, we pray that your message goes forth. May you fire up our hearts, our spirit, to rise up in the call to respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you. I know I've got a right crowd of people this morning. I'm going to believe God to do a great thing this morning. Amen. You agree with that? So don't fall asleep. Okay. So the word here says, you shall be my witnesses. Witnesses here in the actual Greek means martyres. Martyres means martyrs. Right? You all heard of the word martyrs, right? Not Mary and Martha. Okay? This is martyr. One who gives his life totally to the Lord. Totally to the Lord. That's what God is looking for. God's bottom line is not just looking for somebody who come and share a testimony or share a word. God is saying, are you willing to lay down your life for the cause of world mission? And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He didn't just come to spend a few years of his life, finish his work. He came to be the martyr of martyrs, right? The witness of witness. Jesus is the ultimate witness through which we align our life to. Today, in many parts of the world, if you've been reading the newspaper and watching the news, you know today Christians are facing discrimination, threats, persecutions, beatings, prisons, and even deaths for their beliefs and convictions. Even the recent bombing in Pakistan was targeted at Christian families out in the park for the Easter weekend. Totally innocent people who wanted to live their faith in an open way. Recently, we heard about the crisis in churches in Malaysia about the use of Allah in their Bible translations. It's coming closer to home. We heard about choices about Christians in Zhejiang province in China, where they were asked to take down their crosses from the steeple because the government said, we do not want to look at the landscape of the city and see crosses up there. So Christians are being persecuted, pushed around, discriminated against. In Syria and Iraq, whole Christian communities are dislocated from homes. And some even are beheaded because they refuse to renounce their faith. Just a couple of years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, among our churches in Sri Lanka, okay, it was in the height of the civil war conflict. You know, there was a Sri Lankan pastor reaching out to his community, but he evoked the anger of the tigers, the rebels groups, and they told him, you are not supposed to stay in this place and preach the gospel. If you continue to preach, we will kill you. So he continued to do the will of God because he believed that's what God called him to do. So he decided to do that. So one evening, as he was having dinner with his family, there was a knock on the door. And he opened the door. There were people who were wearing face masks. And with a shotgun, they blew a hole through his jaw. It blew his face. But he didn't die. He went back into the house, ran to his family to cover them and protect them. They walked into the home, and in front of his wife and his kids, they stabbed him to death. And it took a much time for the church to recover from that. The leaders in Colombo, they called for a meeting of elders. They say, okay, we will go together to retrieve the body. You know, they asked the young pastors to remain in Colombo. The older ones went. You know, they said, you know, our lives are nearly spent. We can give our lives, you know, for the Lord, because it's dangerous to go down just to retrieve the body. So they retrieved the body, brought the wife back, you know. To cut a long story short, they said, you know, told the wife, we'll settle you in a safe place. We'll take care of you. Don't worry. You know, you serve the Lord. And the wife turned around and said, what my husband have left for me, I will continue. And the leader said, what do you mean? She said, I will go back to the same town where they killed my husband, and I'll continue to be a witness for the Lord. And that's what she did. And that's what she's doing right now today. She's serving the Lord in that difficult place in spite of what has happened to her husband. She turned a setback into a comeback. Amen. That's what the church is called to do. Out there, you know, the Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, Jesus said about the church. The first reference that the Lord says about the church is in Matthew chapter 16, when he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Even among you, Kus, you already sent a couple of missionaries. We know Siu Li and Li Shan, right? How many of you know them? Okay, some of you, okay. Siu Li and Li Shan, I first met them when I was a missionary in Timor Leste. Siu Li was leading the youth team from Kus to go to came to see me in Baucau, And immediately I saw the hand of God upon her, and a few of the young people, some of them are, have served full time in KUS. I don't know whether they're still around. But today, Siu Lee and Lee Shan are moving into their ninth year, correct? It's the ninth year, right? Since 2008, serving in Cocoon. They are in a difficult part of Dili, the capital. Dili, Bairupite district or Bairupite neighborhood used to be invested with hoodlums and gangsters. You know, if there's any trouble happening in Dili those days, now it's a lot more stable and safe. All right. In case some of you think, first thing people tell me about East Timor, oh, are they still fighting? You know, no, it's not. Please update your records. It is safer than Paris and Belgium. All right. In case you're thinking about holiday, go to Timor, you'll be safer. I'm serious. You can't go to some of these major cities and walk in the night. In Timor, you can. All right. Yeah. So Siu Lee and Lee Shan are in a part of Bairupite that is hostile. But today, Bairupite is transformed. There are churches there, cell groups, missionaries living there. Because why? The gospel has been there and the light has shone there. And some of the people that who used to be gangsters are now attending the class. In fact, one of them is on staff with her. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. That's the testimony of a witness in the midst of hostility and difficulty to shine the light. I want to talk to you about different stories about people that I've come across who have been a testimony, witnessing in the face of difficulty. There was a missionary from Singapore, her name was Lucy. She went out to the district of VKK and to a little village called Makadiki. Everybody who went there, they said, I salute Lucy, because it's really the ends of the earth, you know. You really need, it takes about 4 to 5 hours to get to the district of BKK, another 2 to 3 hours to get to the village where she was on bumpy road. You know, that kind of bumpy road, if you take a vehicle. And she faced incredible hostility because the people are prone to violence and difficulty. They burn one another's house and all that. And she was all alone there as a missionary. But a testimony of witness, in spite of laboring there for 2 to 3 years, she hardly saw people come to know the Lord. People were open to the Lord and all that, but none became disciples or followed the Lord. And as her term was ending, you know, it was only a matter of weeks. We had to bring her back because she was, you know, she needed to be restored and strengthened. And there was one believer, her name was Dominguez, yeah, and she had stomach problems. So Lucy prayed for her and the Lord delivered her. You know, she was a shaky young lady, you know, not married, you know, unstable, you know, fearful, overwhelmed by so many problems, like many young ladies in Timor-Leste. But the power of God came upon her. Today, Dominguez is pastoring hundreds of people in VKK district. Under her ministry, the sick are being healed, and it is documented she raised 2 twins who are dead to life. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Evelyn G was sent to the district of Aramera. When her time came, there were no disciples. There was hostility at that point in time. She was not allowed to preach the gospel. And as she was leaving the following day, a couple came to see her. They said, you know, Ibu Evelyn, you say, Mother Evelyn, you know, I know you're going. You came and did so many good for us. We want to come and say thank you. You're leaving tomorrow. Can you pray for us? So she said, sure, I can pray for you. She was leaving next day, right? But on this last day, she prayed for this couple, and immediately they fell under the power of the Holy Spirit. And out of that couple, the wife rose up and said, I'm going to lead the church in Aramera. And today, she's a prolific church planter with at least 200 people under her leadership. Hallelujah. That's right. Give the Lord a hand clap offering. For that is the power of testimony of a witness. When you start to lay down your life, God says, then I will do what you cannot do. You know, you heard about the Titanic, you know, correct? The movie came in about 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, Titanic show. But the Titanic, when it sank in the head office, they had to quickly reconcile what has happened to the ship and what has happened to its passengers. And 2 lists were listed down quickly. This is true. They put down there 1 list, lost, and 1 list, saved. those who are lost in sea and those who are saved, so the people could come and find out what's happened to their loved ones. This morning I want to turn to the passage in Genesis chapter 4 verse 25. Can I have that scripture? It says, but Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth, for God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. You know, in this passage, in Genesis chapter 4 and later on 5, God has his own category of the saved and lost. Just prior to this episode, this passage where we read here right before us, we had a story of Cain killing his brother Abel. And then later on, the writer of Genesis, Moses, you know, he goes on to outline the lineage of Cain. Cain had children and the children had children. I got no time to go into that. You can go and read it in the beginning of chapter 4. What happened to the lineage of Cain? Then after this verse comes chapter 5, which describes the lineage of Seth. And you know that the account of Seth was different from the lineage of Cain. So in chapter 4 and chapter 5, you have two streams of humanity. The descendants of Cain in chapter 4, the descendants of Seth in chapter 5. But the difference between these two streams of humanity, the dividing point was that all the people who responded to God and His Word is outlined in chapter 5 and not in chapter 4. The story of Cain is in Genesis 4, 16 to 24. Only 9 verses to describe 7 generations of his children. 9 verses. But in contrast, when you go to chapter 5, you find 34 verses dedicated to describing 11 generations. So you straight away you see the mind of the Holy Spirit, that the priority of the Lord is in focusing on the righteous. God doesn't leave any generation without witnesses. Now a quick run through on the lineage of Cain. Okay, what was he like? Okay, his lineage. You find that his lineage was focused, you know, there was no reference to God in their lineage. No reference. There's no reference to people responding to God. You know, and but interesting thing about Cain's lineage is that they went on to do great things in their life. Okay, there were many things that they did in life, and incredible accomplishments were done. But when you find that despite all that, there was no one who turned to God. There was an absence of God. But when you look at the lineage of Seth, there's a difference there. You find that in that lineage, God said he lived and he died. Before that, he begot someone. He begot someone. There's a difference between the lineage of Cain and Seth. God paid particular attention to the lineage of Seth. Today I want to talk to you about the testimony of a witness. And in the lineage of Seth, God has outlined lessons for the church for us this morning. Firstly, I want to talk to you about Seth. Seth. Seth means appointed. Yeah? Can I have the next portion of scripture? PowerPoint. Seth. Yeah? No, let's move on next one. Yeah. Seth means appointed. Okay? Appointed for the redemptive purpose of humanity. You know, in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, we are chosen and appointed to go and bear fruit. That's what it says, you know. You are appointed. I have chosen you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. How many of you have been appointed before? Yeah, you've been, right? Whether in the ministry or work, you get an appointment letter, you are given this appointment, you got to report to work. God has appointed each one of us even before the foundation of the world. He's appointed us. When Jeremiah was a priest, but God says, I've appointed you as a prophet to the nation, even in your mother's womb. Today, all of us as you hear the sound of my voice, need to come to a place of recognizing that I am a witness for the Lord. And I have an appointment from the Lord to do the witnessing He has called me to do in my generation. You know, there's something about appointments. You can accept an appointment or you can reject an appointment. But if you reject an appointment, you will miss the honor and the opportunity that goes with it. The question I want to ask you is that, as you sit down there, are you going to turn down the appointment God has given to you? Seth rose up and said, I will be the new line of the appointed. Some of us here are first generation Christian. How many of you are first generation? Some of you, many of you, you came to know the Lord in your generation. You are the Seth. You brought new life to your lineage. And there's a generation that's coming after you that God says, what are you doing about them? Both naturally and spiritually. As a church, we got to be concerned for our children's well-being, correct? But we also got to be concerned about the future of the church. Somebody said, you know, the church is only one generation away from being extinct. And God is deeply concerned about godly values, godly truths, proper discipling being passed on to the next generation, that the next generation will be stronger than the previous generation. Seth was called to be appointed to be a witness in his generation. Many of us heard of Dr. Livingstone, right? If you have looked church history and missions history, Dr. Livingstone and his friend were doctors in Scotland, you know. And they were bright doctors, destined for great things. But both these two young men had a call of God. The appointment letter came to them from the Spirit, say, I want you to give your life to world missions. Livingstone accepted the appointment. The other young man, he said, I want to choose to be successful as a medical doctor. Maybe I can serve God doing that way, you know. So Livingstone left his potential career, and God led him to Africa. And you know what happened there? God used him to pave the way for mission works, for business in Africa, to witness to the people down there. And today, he lies dead there. His heart is buried in Africa. Many people know about Livingstone. He was a pioneer missionary to Africa. He touched many lives, not only through his medical skills. He became a geographer, an explorer. You know, he started to break the slave trade in Africa. But today, no one knows the name of that young man who said no to Jesus, who said that I have a better plan. I can follow this lineage. He decided to step off the plan God had for his life and embark on a different plan. You know, today I see among us many gray-haired men. You know, the Bible says gray hair is splendor. Right? Correct? Are you happy with that or not? Huh? Don't reject yourself. You know, the very fact you made it this far, you got to be applauded, man. Yeah? But today as you sit down there, as I look at all these fine men and women here, I want to tell you, you're appointed. This is your appointed time. Many of you may have heard of Reinhard Bonnke, okay, a foremost evangelist that God called to see Africa blood washed. He was in his late 60s and still going out to the mission field and winning the loss. Somebody told him, Reinhard Bonnke, you have served the Lord long enough. Why don't you retire? You know, a lot of times that's the word people tell when you're older, you retire. But Reinhard Bonnke looked at the person and say, retire? You see? I am not ready for retirement. You know why? He said, because I am a 747 jet. Right? The 747 is fastest at the end of the runway. Friends, don't slow down. Reinhard Bonnke kept on serving the Lord for the next 7 to 10 years. He just retired a few weeks ago, when he has raised up a next generation to carry the mantle of seeing Africa won to the Lord. Today God is telling you, are you going to be in the line of Seth and be appointed, or are you going to step off and move into the line of Cain? I had a couple. 5 years ago, the call of God came upon them to go to a closed door M Nation. Yeah. They struggled because it entails not only sacrifice of leaving behind their family and loved ones and successful career. They were both master's degree holders doing well in their job. And they have two daughters, right? So, and the way we organize missions is that they are responsible for the country. So they lead their group in that. So they've been trying for a number of years to raise up missionaries to go to the country. To the point they say, if nobody goes, here my Lord, send me. But he broke down in my mentoring group. He said, he broke down while he was talking about, I said yes to God, and he broke down because he knew what it means to be a witness for Jesus. And the rest of the men broke down with him because we all understood what it means to step into this calling, because it's not an easy calling. But I want to thank God for his life. As he and his wife aligned to the cause of God, you know, they started to disciple their daughters. God was on their side, you know. We were told not to go to the country, you know, because it's a difficult country. Even people from the country said, we are coming out, don't go in, you know. But the Lord directed us, you must go to the country, be in that land. You've got to be positioned in that territory. So we prayed much. Though other people, you know, seemingly had experience in working in the country, you know, they advised us against going there. We said, let's have faith. Let's not be intimidated. If God has laid it on our heart to go there, God will open the door. So we prepared for 5 years, 5 years. And only last year, we had an open door for us to go into the country. We went to recce the place through some divine openings. And I want to tell this, you know, I cannot disclose the country or the name of people for different reason. But God opened a supernatural door that baffled the so-called naysayers. You know, they went in there, and to cut a long story short, today they are doing PhD in that country on scholarship from the government. Right? They were granted favor. Their accommodation is settled. Their children's school is settled. It's largely taken care by the university itself. And they're given visa. When previously people have been there for 2, 3 years, 4 years, cannot get any visa, they've been given student visa to stay long. So we want to thank God. When there's an appointment on your life, we can believe God to open doors for you. Amen. Are you with me? Sometimes in our mind, we start to think all the negative things when God is so much bigger than our problems. Today, I want to encourage all of us here. Say, God, in this season in my life, I want to accept the appointment and step into the destiny you have for me. Let me quickly move on to the next character in the line of Seth. His name is Enosh. Enosh. Enosh means mortal, but also has a meaning of being awakened. An awakened mortal. Why? Because Enosh contrasts with the line of Cain. Cain's lineage, everybody's proud of themselves. We can do this. We don't need God. We don't need his help. We don't need his presence. We can build cities. We can achieve. We can invent. We can discover. They were so brash. You think about Lamech, the seventh guy. He was so aggressive and so bold. He said, I can do even worse than Cain. You know, Enosh. He was so arrogant. But the lineage of Seth had a life of God. I am just human. I'm depending on you. I need you to be a witness. But he was an awakened individual. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. Can I have the scripture? It says here, to you who are spiritually dead all the time that you drifted along on the stream of this world's ideas of living and obeyed its unseen ruler, who is still operating in those who do not respond to the truth of God. To you, Christ has given life. Here's a mortal person who come to new life in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Right? By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. His set apart ones, his appointed ones. Go on to the next scripture. Ephesians 5:14-17. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Wow, I like this translation. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live callously, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Are you alive? 8:30. Are you alive? Are you awake? I like that better than, because you can be alive but not awake. Is there a difference, right? Many times, I'm alive, but I don't wake up in the morning. You know, there's something special about awakened people. They understand times, they understand seasons, they know what to do with their schedules. Bian Singh was sitting in his flat 13 years ago. A death sentence was over him. The doctors told him, you have terminal cancer. He was 57 years old. And one of our church planting teams was doing door-to-door evangelism, knocked on his door, and he came out, and they witnessed to him. To cut a long story short, he got saved, born again. Though doctors prescribed him that he cannot live beyond a few months, the Lord touched him and healed him. 10 years on from that, he came to serve the Lord in the church. But he was still a very timid young man. Timid man. He was 57, you know. And since he got healed, he started to run marathons. He started running marathon when he was 57. He said, I have a new lease of life. God given me life. I want to do something I've never done in my life. So he started to run marathon. In fact, right now he runs 2 or 3 marathons every year. When he was 66, just a couple of years ago, we told him, Bian Singh, it's about time for you to be a witness to the nations. You have a testimony of how God has changed you. He said, but I cannot, you know, go to foreign country. I don't know what to say. You know, I cannot speak foreign language. I say the important thing is to know that you're appointed, that you're awakened, and God can use your life. Bian Singh did join our team to Mexico. Supposed to go to Brazil, but redirected to Mexico. He learned Portuguese. After that, he had to learn Spanish. At 67 years old, he said, my brain, how to learn new language. You know, he said, can God use my life? But God did use him. I went to see him teaching people that he wanted the Lord in Spanish. I said, Bian Singh, all you need to do is knock on doors and tell how God saved you from cancer. Enough already. Learn that in Spanish. And then leave the Holy Spirit to do every other work. You know, today, he's back in our church. He's serving the Lord. He's 69 years old. I told Bian Singh, are you ready? Go for the next month. He said, Pastor, if the Lord calls me, I'm ready. So, yeah, that's right. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. So don't let the devil put you down. Don't let yourself put you down. You know, nothing in the hands of God is wasted. God called Abraham when he was 70 years old. A lot of people say we need young people like Joshua. Joshua was 80 years old when he led the people into the promised land. Hello? Are you with me? That's right. Clap means clap properly. Right. Be mortal. But recognize I'm an awakened mortal. I know the power of God in my life. I know the grace of God in my life. I can serve the people of God. I can serve the work of God. You know, friends, some of you are so much older. You got so much time, talent, experience. Even in places like Bobonaro. I told some of the pastors here, you know, when I first went to Bobonaro, people said, one of the struggles, you know, you have in Timor because your hair is black. We need white hair people. You know what I mean? White hair, you know, white hair people don't give you trouble. You know? You trouble, you know? Because you know how to solve problems. You are at peace. Some of us, when we are young, we are zealous, we are full of zeal, we step on toes and don't realize we have stepped on toes, you know, may not. But when you're older, there's a measuredness in your life. You have talent, skills, you have raised children, some of you have seen grandchildren. There's so much you can offer there. Right? You may say what you cannot do, but I want to tell you, look at the things that you can do. We need house parents all over Timor-Leste, people who can run youth hostels, who will bring in young people. Timor is 7 out of 10 is young people, and they need fathers and mothers in the spirit, a set generation who know the appointment of God, who know they're awakened, who will disciple a new generation to come to a knowledge of God. This is our prime opportunity to say, God, I can commit 1 year, I can commit 2 years, I can commit 3 years, I can commit 5 years. To say, God, what is 3, 4, 5 years to serve the Lord? You will enjoy life there. We sent a couple called Aaron and Anne. Aaron had diabetic condition, blood pressure, you know, I don't know what condition he has. He went to a village. But before he went and said, how? I need medication for this. I need medication for that. I need to see doctor for this. I said, you know, when you start to lay everything down before the Lord and trust God to go, God will take care of you. Right? I'm not being simplistic. There's something about telling, you know, I'm going to pray healing for you. What about believing God for healing for your life? But I want to tell you, he enjoyed his 2 years he was there. He told me, Pastor Selvam, you know, my blood pressure went down. My medication level also went down. I hardly took any medication. And I enjoy my life so much down there. You know why? I eat organic food all the time. Right here, you pay so much money. Down there, you eat everything for the farm. You know, everything healthy. It's strong. You know, vegetables. You know, they live well. Come back here. Wow, backache. Come back here. I need medication. You know why? You got to come back to the place where God wants you to be. Where you know I'm mortal, God. I need you. I need your grace upon my life. Let me quickly move on. The next person in the line of set is called Mahalalel. Mahalalel means praise of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has called you to go and be a testimony to the nation of what God has done in your life. If you've been a Christian for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you have a testimony of what God has done in your life, how he has saved you, how he has healed you, how he has blessed you. See your family members come to know the Lord. That is powerful. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the what? Word of our testimony. It is powerful to pulling down strongholds. You say, I don't know how to preach. I don't know homiletics or hermeneutics, but you have a story. Everyone loves a good story. All you need to do is sit down and tell your story and God will do the rest. Albertina was a convert to the Lord when I was there. You know, she was illiterate. She doesn't, you know, cannot read. But she started to take a Bible. And whenever I teach, she'll get next to somebody who can read and say, help me underline the scriptures. She'll highlight all the scriptures. And then she'll take the Bible and she'll go to the market. And people who know her, because she grew up in the village, in that town, in that city, you know, say, Albertina, you illiterate. They put her down because she doesn't have education, you know. And she's barren, you know, so there's a double whammy down there, you know. You're a woman, you know, illiterate. Okay, there's many women are illiterate down there. But to be barren, that is ultimate, you know. They say, you illiterate, what are you doing here, carrying the Bible? You think, who are you? You think you are a preacher? You can't even read. She said, yeah, of course I cannot read. But you can write. So she opens the Bible and says, you read. So when they read the scripture, she said, then she started to preach the word of God to them. This is what it means. And she saw people come to know the Lord, churches planted after her. Illiterates. What are you going to do with the talents and skills that you have? Paulus was a wife beater, drinker, smuggler. His wife used to come to our church and cry, pray for my husband. He's either doing something naughty or he's in jail. You know? So we tried to reach out to him. But a few years later, God marvelously touched this man. Today, Paulus is the local pastor in the district of Baucau. And he has 800 disciples under him. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. That's the power of being a witness for God. And he's got a story. You know, when the local people come against, he said, I've settled all this because I've gone to the dark side. But now I'm in the right lineage. I'm appointed. I am, you know, I'm awakened. And my life is for the praise and glory of God. Let me quickly move on. The fourth character is Enoch. Enoch. Enoch means dedicated and a disciplined witness. That's why we got to live our life. We are called to live a life dedicated wholly unto God. Not just a missions experience. We tell our people, you don't go out to the mission field, come back and live life as normal and say, I've given my national service to God. Your whole life belongs to God. Your whole life is a witness. I always tell people this, you're an example, either a good one or a bad one. It's fact. People are watching your life day in and day out. I've got three boys You know, there's any discipleship that got to take place, it doesn't take place on Sunday morning or Sunday evening. It takes place on Monday morning, on Tuesday afternoon, on Saturday late in the evening. They watch my life. They watch my words. So there must be a dedication, application of your life to know that I am living for the Lord. I'm not perfect. I'm a witness. I'm mortal. But I'm awakened to the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm awakened to forgiveness. I'm awakened to know that I can slip and fall except for the grace of God. And I tell my kids that. I tell my disciples that I'm humble. I know I need Jesus more than anything else. The more I grow in life, I say, God, I need you today more than yesterday. Because I know what's happening in my heart, in my mind. Enough for the grace of God, I'm lost. You know, it says here, Enoch was dedicated and disciplined. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Can I have that? Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means you better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are in. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. He was the ultimate witness and he kept himself focused until the end of his life. Many of us here are in the second half of your life. It is the most exciting season it can be if you choose to head in the right direction. It is not about doing things, friends. It's about knowing your direction. When you know your direction, you know you're making your life count for Jesus. You know, it says here, Enoch walk with God. He didn't just live with God unlike his peer. There was an elevation in his walk. His predecessors lived in God, but Noah walked with God. He had a relationship with God. And particularly it says that after the birth of his son, he walked with God. So something must have happened between him being just married and having his first child and him walking with God. Today, there are fathers in the midst of us, grandfathers in the midst of us. I've seen this time and time again. Men, young men, fired up for God, they get married, then the fire starts to diminish, the kids come in, they become a spark, just come for Sunday attendance, and suddenly you find the men are no longer leading their homes. But God is telling me to tell you, men, it's time to arise. Time for you to arise. To walk like Enoch, who decided that, God, after the birth of my son, I want to walk with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be that witness. Enoch not only walked with God, he spoke to his generation. He saw the conditions of his men. And he said, I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to have a testimony. Powerful testimony of what it is to have a relationship with God. He made his second half his better half. Today, God is wanting to awaken many fathers here. Men, you're the leaders of your homes. Many of you are leaders in the church also in different levels. God is telling you, can you be my witness? Beyond your home, beyond your company and school, are you willing to say, God, I will be a witness to the ends of the earth? I will respond wherever you lead me. Men, I want to encourage you, step up and say, God, I will not only naturally father children, but also be a spiritual father to others. When God called me to go to Timor, my wife and I didn't have any children, you know. Cut a long story short. When we did our first recce trip, just a day or two before that, my wife realized she conceived. And immediately, all my bravado of going to mission became a whimper. I'm serious about it. I said, God, I can do this with my wife, but not with a kid, you know what I mean? And I was in Timor that time, and I was very troubled. I said, God, war-torn place. I don't know how to take care of my first son. You know what I mean? You need support systems, you know, medical, you know. You know Singaporeans, lah. You know, we got plan A, B, C, D, up to F about how to protect ourselves, you know. We got insurance for insurance, you know. But God was telling me, don't deny your children the blessing. Just like the children of Israel, they say, our wives will be taken captives. Our children will be lost. And the Spirit of God spoke and dealt with me. I said, God, I need to recognize my mortality. But God, give me grace. Give me grace. And at that point, I built an altar before God. I said, God, help me never put my family before your commandment, before you. You must always be number one. And let me tell you that I took my son, 3 months old, to Timor. People tell you, why you come here? The first person I met was an SAF officer. He had to inject my son the vaccination. The first thing he told me, what on earth are you doing? I said, why? You're going to that place? That place is infested with all kinds of sickness. You know? I said, yeah, yeah. So don't go. My heart sank. I had my team. Thank God they were not there. You know? And he couldn't even inject my son properly. You know what I mean? So he said, I'm a soldier. I don't know how to inject babies. You know? I mean, this is not a put down SAF. No. It's just my personal encounter. You know? SAF is good. You know? In case you're SAF officer, you know, it's okay. You know? You know, just my encounter, you know, he was dampening my faith, you know. So I said, okay, I will not hear this. But I was discouraged. I said, God, what do you want me to do? I got a baby. The Lord says, don't fix your eyes on the problem. Look at me. I said, God, I will do that. We stayed there 4 years in Timor-Leste. We had challenges. But many times I had to take my son and put him at the altar. Say, God, he belongs to you, not to me. I've dedicated him to the Lord. He is going to help us in the mission. And I want to tell you that he is my best missionary. Because of him, I got open doors. Honestly, you know, when you have family and children, people open doors for you. You don't need to knock and try and persuade people. Jesus said, you will be a blessing and through you all families will be blessed. God called Abraham to lead his family into the field. Don't leave behind your family. So Enoch walked with God. He led his life, he led his children to serve the Lord too. Let me quickly move on to my last witness, and his name is called Noah. Anyone call Noah here? No Noah? Oh, you changed your name on the spot. Noah means rest. Rest. It was time of restlessness. You know, the children of Cain have multiplied and they are ruling the world at the time. They were sinning and there was much turmoil, but Noah walked with God. Here was another man who walked with God. Can you see that? The walk? As he produced a life of walking, your next generation will have the multiplication because you produce after your DNA. You know, Luke chapter 17, can I have the scripture? It says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and wedding, right up to the time Noah entered his boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. Today, this day are the days of Noah, and we need Noah-type believers, Noah-type witnesses, families who know what it is to band together in these last days to say we will not be corrupt like the systems of the world. We will have Jesus as the ark. And through that we will see nations come to know the Lord. In Matthew 24 verse 14 it says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Noah had to preach. God is calling the Noah believers of this last day, say, get my gospel to the ends of the earth. You say, God, what to do with my life? Here it is, the direction for your life. Say, God, I'm ready. So take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want the musicians, the worship band to come up right now. Oh, you're over there. Praise the Lord. Can I have the summary of the... I didn't have time to look through all the lineage of Seth. But I think this is 5 things that I want to talk to you about being a testimony of a witness. That all of us are appointed. The question I'll ask you is that, are you ready to accept your appointment? Some of you have been delaying that for a number of years. Friends, don't give God your leftovers. God deserves the best. God deserves the best. Delayed obedience is disobedience. I say that again. Delayed obedience is disobedience. If God has spoken to you, you've got to step out in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let me tell you, there will always be giants to confront. Joshua knew about it. Caleb knew about it. David knew about giants in his life, about lions and bears. But despite that, God said, will you step out in faith? I believe the message today has awakened some of your heart to your responsibilities. God has spoken to you that your life, I've done much in your life. What are you doing about it? We are living in a dangerous time where people are seeking the blessed life without really understanding the call of God is for you to be a blessing. You know what is a truly blessed life? It's not that you have a good house, a good family, a nice car, a nice job. All those things are good. The Lord told Abraham, I will bless you. But he didn't stop there. But that you may be a blessing to the nations. The truly blessed life is a life that says, God, I am blessed. Not that I become a reservoir. That I become a channel, a distributor of the blessings of God. Many of you had grown up in this nation, including myself, you are blessed with good education, home, safety, peace, progress. We go for good holidays. I'm not begrudging all those things. But one day we have to stand before God. And God is going to say, are you my witness? Have you been faithful to what I've given to you? Have you lived out my praise to the ends of the earth? I don't know what the worship leader, what song do you have? But I want all of us to rise up right now. We're going to worship the Lord. And I'm going to open up this altar right now. As the worship leader starts to sing the song, I want you to step out and say, God, I want to receive the appointment of God. I want to speak especially to the men, the heads of homes, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're a grandfather. Say, God, I want to step out in faith and say that, God, I want to be the witness you want me to be. I want to answer that call. Now, if you're a man, your wife is with you and your children with you, I want to encourage you to say, hey, come, let's be the Noe kind of family in these last days. God, here we are. We don't know what the future holds, but I know you are good and you make it count for us. So as a worship going to leader, we're going to lead this song. You step out. If you're a lady, you're a single person, you also step up. But I particularly want to focus on the men, especially some of you older men. If you're saying, God, I don't know what to do, you just step out and say, God, here am I, I'm willing. Just leave yourself in the altar of God and let Lord lead you and guide you. Amen. I just want to make an appeal if I'm not clear in the first time. I think the word of God is very clear this morning for you to respond. I don't know where you are right now, but I want to encourage you that when we receive the word of God, to always have a responsive heart to say, God, I'm willing. I'm not telling that Pastor Daniel is going to send you to the uttermost part of the world, but what I'm saying is that I'm going to dedicate my life to be the witness that God wants me to be. I'm serious about my call for God. When I was invited to come here to speak, I didn't come here just to give a sermon. I come here to call men and women to a higher level of living. To dedicate your life. To say, God, I'm not going to live a lukewarm life. I'm going to live a life that's passionate for God. If God can give Jesus for you and pay the price for you, how much more, my brothers and sisters, that God is calling us to say, step up and give yourself to the cause of the nations. But it starts with us recognizing, God, I am mortal. I got hang-ups, my limitation, but it starts there, friend. But that's where we come to the altar and say, God, I leave it all, my struggles, hang-ups to you. And that you can use me for your glory. I won't prolong this altar call, but I want to challenge you, men, to take the lead heads of households to step out and say, God, I will be. I will not look at the mistakes that's done before. God is willing to deal with those things. But God says, I want to do you a greater work in your life. So step out. I want to encourage families, men, just come out and say, God, I want to give myself to you. Create a whole new atmosphere in this church. Pastors, leaders, you are over congregation. You got to be setting the examples coming out here. Say, God, I'm willing to lead. You know, so you step out, come out, that's right. Wherever your men are coming out, I'm going to wait until, you know, you respond. Because this is a serious thing. God is interested in lives. Through your obedience, countless others will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When we stand before God, we can say, hey, God, I've heeded your voice. I've done what you called me to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's this song. Come out wherever you are. I want to pray with you.
Of the nations, the world is yet to see. The full release of your promise. The church in victory. Turn to us, Lord, and touch us. Make us strong in your mind. Overcome our weakness, that we may stand up and fight. Let your glory fall in this room. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come.
Let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
Let us see. The glory of your Son. Let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come.
Let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
Let us see on earth.
As they continue to pray, let us commit ourselves to the Lord. Father, we thank you for a reminder. Lord, we know that when the heart is willing, we always find a way. When we are not, we always find a reason an excuse. There will be many reasons why we cannot or will not obey you, Lord. So, Father, we are reminded that today in the world, there's still a great need for witnesses everywhere, Lord. And the call is for all Christians, not for some Christians who are more holy or more ready. So, Father, we pray for our church as a whole. Father, may you stir up our hearts, cause us to rise up in faith and in courage, Lord. Thank you for all the stories of those people who have gone before us, ordinary people who have found themselves in the hands of an extraordinary God. Father, we want to be that person, Lord. We want to be that person who will have that story to tell. Father, we want to pray that out of Church of Savior, you raise men in particular, men and women, but men in particular, who will go out into the mission field. We pray in particular for Japan, Lord. We have a team in Japan, all women in a nation that never listens to women. Lord, raise up men who will not just talk about it or even pray about it, who actually go, Lord. We pray for Bowonaro. We thank you that we have a team who is willing to go for a year. But what happens after 1 year, Lord? Father, we pray for Thailand. Even as we try to put a team together, Lord, maybe that out of these people with expertise and different gifts that you have given them in life, Lord, you cause some to step forward and say, Lord, here I am, send me. Let me be the one to go first, Lord. So, Father, we want to give our lives to you, all of us. On this missions week, Lord, we want to take your great commission seriously once again as a church, Lord. As we go from this place, may the greatest blessing go with us so that we can be a blessing to the world. Blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us now and always. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Service is over. You know, even as some of them continue to be prayed for, you know, those see you back next week.